past couple of Sundays, Neil and I have been preaching on scenes from the life of Abraham, the man whom God chose to be the patriarch of Israel. We've heard about his wives, Sarah and Hagar, and Abraham's son, Isaac. And today, we're listening to the story of Abraham's unnamed servant and his quest to find Isaac a wife. I don't know about you, but the world of Abraham seems very remote to me. Owning slaves, giving your slave to your husband so she can have a child by him, then driving her and her child into the wilderness to die, almost killing your son because God told you to. I don't find myself thinking, oh yeah, I know what that's like. But in today's story, I did find myself thinking, oh yes, I know exactly what that's like. Abraham had given his servant an important mission to go back to Abraham's home territory to find a wife for his only son, Isaac. Remember, God had promised Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. So finding a good wife was essential to the progress of the divine destiny. After months of traveling with a caravan of camels, the servant arrived at his destination. How will he find a suitable wife for Isaac? How will he know she's the right one? What's his plan? Well, he doesn't seem to have one. He just prays. O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from the jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw water for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. And before the servant finished speaking in his heart, there was Rebecca coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. Even before he finishes his silent prayer, God is answering it. And this is the part of the story that speaks across the ages, this, oh God, help me, prayer, and God's gracious and timely response that embodies God's steadfast faithfulness to his people. I remember driving to work one morning some years ago. I forget now what the issue was, but I was in touch with some real despair. And I prayed rather emphatically, Lord, I need some encouragement. When I got to work, I noticed I had a voicemail. It had come in earlier that morning. A woman from a previous parish, a woman I couldn't even remember, had called to tell me how much my ministry had meant to her. Even, and you know, that just doesn't happen. Even before I had vocalized my need, God was moving to meet it. Long ago, I preached a sermon on what it means to fully rely on God. In it, I talked about the importance of telling God your heart's desire, because even if God doesn't give you what you desire, he wants to know what you want. So often we think we have to be polite with God and only pray what we think God wants to hear. I'll never forget that sermon because it seemed as though Jesus was really preaching through me. It felt like something from The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but in a good way. A couple in the congregation that morning had been trying to adopt a child and not having much success. These were open adoptions, so the birth mother could choose the parents that she wanted to raise her child. And this couple had not been chosen by several moms. They were again being considered by a mom about to give birth to a baby boy. After the service, the wife told me she and her husband had been praying polite prayers, but were going home to pray the prayers of their hearts. They really wanted that baby boy, but had been too timid to tell God. The next morning, they received a call. The birth mother had chosen them to be her son's parents. And here's the really important part of that story. After they brought the child home, they learned that the mother had been a crack addict. So the baby's first year was hell for all of them. But the mom told me they got through it because they knew without a doubt that God had chosen them to be his parents. This may seem a naive way to pray, but Walter Brueggemann, the Old Testament scholar, asserts in his commentary on Genesis that for all its seeming naivete, this narrative is a mature reflection on faith. This is faith that's not accessed through wisdom or intelligence, but by fully relying on the steadfast faithfulness of God, just as an infant relies on the nurturing presence of her mother. After the servant ascertained that a Rebecca was from the family of Abraham, he bowed his head and worshiped and blessed the Lord, who he said led him by the right way. This word led in Hebrew, nene, occurs nowhere else in the book of Genesis. The two books in which it does occur repeatedly are Exodus, where it refers to guidance in the wilderness, and in the Psalms, where it refers to being relieved in times of stress. The most famous example is Psalm 23, where the psalmist says, "The good shepherd leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The faith offered in the story of Abraham and his clan is for those willing to be led. To be led on important missions. To be led through the wilderness. To be led in stressful times. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And he will. Amen.